I think somebody's doing me a favor. Turned off the clock. Let's begin tonight by singing number 16. We sang 16 today. One of the children gave out this number. I enjoyed it so very much. Whosoever heareth, shout the sound. Send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Blessed tidings and joyful news. You know what blessed means? It means happy. You know what tidings means? It means what? Good news. So tonight we have something to present to you that will lift your spirit. And if it doesn't, I don't know what else will. Because it's a message of love that's come down from above, from the heart of God. And God loves each and every one in this hall here tonight. I see boys and girls and men and women. And I'm here to tell you that you have a God that desires the very best for you. He wants you to be thoroughly happy, and he's made it possible. But you know, many people tonight, they're trying to live their life without God. It's so sad. Somebody said that living one's life without God is like dribbling a football. Have you ever tried to do that? A football? You can do it with the basketball. It doesn't work with the football. And if we think we can live without God, independent of God, it won't work. And we're in big trouble. It's serious. So the message here tonight, even though, as it tells us in this little hymn, it's blessed, it's happy, and it's joyful, it's also very serious. Depending on how you respond to this message here tonight, you're going to be with Christ in his happy home in a coming day, or you're going to be with the devil and his angels in hell. God didn't prepare hell for people. He prepared hell for the devil and for his angels. But for those that reject his Son, it's the worst crime that you could commit, is to say no to Jesus. I hope here tonight nobody is saying no to Jesus. Because God doesn't appreciate that. And in fact, it tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. Oh, that makes me shudder. The wrath of God is anger. You know, God thinks so very much of his beloved Son. He's so lovely and so wonderful. Yet if anybody would reject him, we find out the wrath of God abides on him. That's what it tells us in the Bible. We don't want the wrath of God abiding on us. So, We're going to sing this little hymn, "Whosoever Heareth, Shout, Shout the Sound." And perhaps we could stand as we sing number 16.
Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound.
Father, we thank thee tonight for that sweet and wonderful word, come. We thank thee tonight, dear Father, that thou art inviting boys and girls and older ones too to come to Jesus, to come believing and to find in him joy and peace. And so tonight we earnestly pray that as thy word is presented, that it might penetrate the hearts of each one in the audience, and that we might be moved by thy word, speaker included, and that we might indeed come to realize in a fuller way thy love, dear Father, that led thee to give thy Son, as we often sing, for a world by sin undone. For that love, Lord Jesus, that took thee to the cross of Calvary, we thank thee from the bottom of our hearts that thou wouldst suffer on that cruel cross for sinners in order that we might become clean, in order that we might become thy companions for all eternity. So we rejoice tonight in the abundance of thy grace and goodness. But we do earnestly pray for any still in their sins, that they might wake up here tonight and accept the Lord Jesus before it's too late. We ask all, thinking too of thy word going forth in many parts of the world, tonight, we pray, it might run and be glorified, and souls saved. We ask this as we give thanks. In thy worthy, precious name, Lord Jesus, amen. Well, tonight I was thinking of two questions. One question has four words in it. It's called the sin question. And there's another question, and it has five words. And it's called the Son question. So, let's first of all turn to the sin question. So, Genesis chapter 4. I'd like to open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 4. And this is the story of Cain and Abel. Now, you know, Cain, he brought an offering to God. He was like a farmer. And he raised, I suppose, vegetables, maybe fruits and so on. And I think they were very nice. And he brought a sacrifice to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And you know what? The Lord didn't accept it. On the other hand, Abel, his brother, he was a shepherd. You boys and girls know this story. And he killed a sheep and he offered a sheep. And God accepted that. And that made Cain so very angry. Because God accepted his brother's sacrifice, but God wouldn't accept his. And Cain got so infuriated. He got mad. Well, why is it that God accepted Abel's and not Cain's? It's very simple. Cain's was a bloodless sacrifice. There was no blood offered. And Cain, I believe, should have known better. He should have realized that it's very important, the shedding of blood, in order to approach God. God had made coats of skin for Adam and Eve. And the coats of skin, of course, they came from animals. And I've never seen yet an animal that was skinned that was still alive. If you skin an animal, that animal dies. In order to provide its coat, it has to die. And you know, when that animal died, I believe God took the skin. And he made coats for Adam and Eve. You know, I got a pair of shoes on here. And these shoes happen to be leather. Not all leather. Part of it. Man-made shoes, but I believe an animal had to die in order that I could have shoes like these on my feet. And I never thanked the animal, but now I'm thinking about it, that animal sacrificed its life so I could have shoes. And you know, that animal that we read about here in Genesis was sacrificed that Adam and Eve could be covered, and God provided coats of skin. Well, the blood was shed. See, that's the thing. The blood was shed. And I believe we learned right from the beginning of Genesis the importance of the blood to approach God. And many say, I don't believe that. I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. One man, he said, this is a slaughterhouse religion. I don't believe in that. I want to tell you something. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's what we learn in the New Testament. You see, what we read here in the Old Testament, we need to look at it in the light of the New Testament. And we find out that there was one who shed his blood, and that was Jesus at the cross for sinners, that we might be saved. And I think the Bible is so wonderful. From the beginning of the book right to the end, we see how God is approached only by sacrifice and the shedding of blood. Well, here tonight, I want to tell you something. Cain was infuriated. And the Lord tried to reason with him. He said, Cain, You got opportunity to repent. He says, you can offer a sacrifice that I would accept. But Cain wouldn't listen. He's too proud. He don't appreciate if somebody tells him what to do. He's got his own idea. And that's not good. And Cain went from bad to worse. And as we read here in Genesis chapter 4, it tells us in verse 8 that Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. That is, he killed him. He murdered him. His own brother. And maybe he did it in a very kind of sneaky way. You know, he's in the field. He's just talking to him. And all of a sudden, I don't know how he killed him. But he did. Now notice verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Is that a good thing to say? He said, I don't know where my brother is. He told a lie. You know, when we do something bad, we often try to cover it up and things go from bad to worse. And that's what happened here with Cain. He said, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, now here's the question. What hast thou done? What hast thou done? The Lord knew all about what had taken place. And Cain thinks that he's going to hide it from the Lord. And the Lord speaks to Cain. What have you done? I ask you here tonight. What have you done? You say, well, I never murdered anybody. I'm not like Cain. But you know, I'm thinking now about, I believe it was Stephen. He was preaching to his people. And he said that they were the betrayers and the murderers of the just one. What was he referring to? His people, the Jews, had put to death their Messiah. He had put to death Christ on the cross of Calvary. And they were murderers. And you know, it tells us that not only did the Jews, but the Gentiles as well, they joined together with the Jews in order to put to death the Son of God. I believe Peter was. He spoke about how you killed the just. You killed him. And you know, dear ones here tonight, we can point the finger. But I do believe, because we are sinners and we're born with such a rotten nature, we're bad, that we are really on the side of those who put to death the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see my own place in that crowd that was clamoring for his blood. Crucify him! Crucify him! The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Desperately wicked. We cannot cover up our sin. I recall reading about a smuggling ship. And the captain, he saw in the distance a Coast Guard. And that Coast Guard was coming in his direction, and he had smuggled goods on board. He knew he was in big trouble. So he ordered his crew to throw the cargo overboard. And they had these big boxes of smuggled goods. I don't know exactly what the goods were, but they were all packaged in boxes. And so they begin to take these boxes out of the bottom of the ship, and they bring them up on the deck, and then they put up a big sail at the back of the ship so that the Coast Guard, if they had binoculars, they could not see what they were doing. So they're going to hide what they're doing from the Coast Guard. They begin to throw the boxes over, one after another, into the water they go. And they went down underneath that big screen, that big sail. Finally, they came to the end of the boxes. No more boxes. All the smuggled goods sinking to the bottom of the ocean. And the captain told his crew member there, I want you to go back and check the position of the Coast Guard. So he went back and he looked around the screen. You know what he saw? Every one of those boxes was floating in a line. It looked like it was stretching all the way back to that Coast Guard ship. And he came back to the captain. He said, it won't sink. It won't sink. Well, that captain got in big trouble. Yeah, he was arrested. I think his ship was confiscated. He went to prison. But I understand that this captain, later in life, he came to Christ. And there was one verse that really meant a lot to him. Thy sins and iniquities I will remember no more. You know, that captain, he thought he could cover up his sin, but it didn't work. And is there somebody here tonight that thinks they can cover up their sin? You might be able to cover it up in some way for a time. And you might be able to fool some of the people. You know, somebody said one time, we can fool all the people some of the time, and we can fool some of the people all the time, but we can't fool God any of the time. And we need to realize that. You know, God is looking down here tonight. It tells us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And he's looking down on you, and you, and you, and you, each and every one here tonight. Christianity is a very personal matter. We need to realize that. The other day, I was in the airport. And there was a huge crowd of people, and I was just standing in the crowd. However, in order to get on the airplane, we had to do what they asked us to do. And instead of the big, huge crowd just all walking up to the airplane, they made us go into this, like a maze. And I come to find out, we're going now single file. And you know, many here know what I'm talking about. But you come to this gate, and then you have to go up to a podium, and there's one person there, and they're going to check your ticket to make it sure it's a true ticket, it's a good ticket. And they look for ID. And you go up there one at a time. And the next thing you do, you take things out of your pocket and and you put them onto this conveyor belt and your luggage and so on, depending on whether you're flying pre-checked or not, determines how much you're going to put on the conveyor. And that conveyor goes through an x-ray machine, and it's going to check everything that's in your belongings. And then you have to come up and stand in front of a metal detector, and then they tell you to step in. And I want to tell you something. There's no way more than one person at a time is going to be in there. And so you step in there. You might have to put up your hands like this. And they check you out thoroughly, one at a time. It's a thorough check. And I thought of this. Here tonight, God is checking you out one at a time. You sit in this hall, and there's a number of people around you. But you know, God, He sees you as an individual. And we have to meet the Lord Jesus one-on-one, one at a time. Somebody said nobody goes into heaven other than single file. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. So we come one at a time. And the Lord Jesus wants you to come tonight. But this question, I believe, is the sin question. What have you done? If I was to write on this wall everything that you have ever done in your life, and I wrote it up here on this wall, and not only what you did, but what you thought and what you said, and I wrote it up here on this wall, would you feel comfortable sitting here in this room with all these people? I see some going like this. No, I wouldn't either. What have you done? Is there anybody here tonight that thinks they're perfect? I want to tell you something. If you want to come to God based on what you have done or haven't done, you got to be perfect. You know, one sinful thought or one sinful word, one harsh word, one action, it'll keep you out of heaven. Sometimes I have a balloon. I have a big balloon. And it's such a beautiful balloon. I didn't bring one here tonight. But it's a nice red balloon or purple, or maybe it's green. And I sit and I look at it and I'm thinking, it's very nice. It's very beautiful. And sometimes it has some picture on it or a design or something like that, you know. But what does it take to spoil the balloon? Just a little pin prick. You ever look at an end of a pin or a needle? And it's so tiny you can hardly see it, but you put that up to the balloon. Bop! It's all done. Spoiled it. Well, you know, that's what happened, I believe, in the Garden of Eden. When Adam listened, I should say Eve, actually listened to the devil, Satan. And she heard what God had said, but now she's listening to what Satan has to say. And she has a decision to make. Who is offering her the best option? You know what she did? She decided to go with Satan. Isn't that awful? And that's what happened ever since in this world. And we know Adam, he went along with his wife. And Eve took of that fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam ate of it. And they sinned. They disobeyed God. And as a result, death has come into this world. tells us by one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men. Terrible what happened there in the Garden of Eden. But you know what? I believe this gave God opportunity to show his love for sinners. Because we find that instead of destroying Adam and Eve, instead of destroying the human race, abandoning it, starting over, he provides a Savior. And that's what the gospel is about. This is what the joyful news is about. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And now, let's go to the son question. That's over in Matthew chapter 22. I will say this, our brother Jonathan said, if you go over, he didn't think anybody was going to get too upset. I forget his exact wording, but I'm not going to go over too much. I think I'm over now. But we got to read this son question, though. Matthew chapter 22. And we find here in this chapter, we've got people, men, they don't appreciate the Lord Jesus, and they don't believe his preaching. So sad. And there are those that were trying to trip him up, trying to frustrate him in his speech, so he would say something that didn't make any sense, or at least contradicted maybe his lifestyle or whatever. And you know, we got people today, they are contradicting the Lord Jesus, God's own Son. I trust here tonight there's nobody like that. And this question, I believe, we need to take it to heart. Because depending on how you answer this question, you're either on the road to heaven, or you are on the road to hell. And here's the question. Verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ?" That's it. What think ye of Christ? And as we read through the Gospels, we find out there were those that appreciated the Lord Jesus Christ. You take like Peter. He says, "We believe and we're sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." John the Baptist, he spoke about the Lord Jesus. He said, "The one that comes after me, he's preferred before me because he was before me." He thought everything of the Lord Jesus. He was wonderful. There was an elderly man by the name of Simeon. And when he saw the baby Jesus, he picked him up in his arms and he says, "Now you can let me depart from this world because I have seen your salvation." And he was looking at the little baby Jesus. This was God's salvation. A Savior had been born into this world. God was reaching out to sinners, and he reaches out to you here tonight. Now, this is the question. What think ye of Christ? As I look about this hall here tonight, I'm seeing those that they really love the Lord and they put their faith in the Lord Jesus. They put their trust in him. And they believe that on the cross he gave his life and shed his blood in order to cleanse them from their sins, in order that they might be redeemed, in order that they might have eternal life, in order that they might enjoy a relationship with God, the Father, and with his Son, Jesus. And it makes them happy. It makes me happy. But I don't know everybody in this hall here tonight. And maybe there's somebody who is still in their sins and rejecting the Son of God. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Have you come? Or do you say no? Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. To neglect is to reject. And I'm going to tell you something here tonight. And this used to make me shudder because I wasn't saved. The preacher would tell me as I sat on the seat that if the Lord Jesus was to come, the door of heaven would be shut. And that went right to my heart and to my conscience. And I thought to myself, could that possibly happen tonight? Because the Lord Jesus says, "I'm coming quickly." And I'm thinking about this. I didn't want to be outside the door, knocking to come in. The door would not be open. It's too late. I'd be left to sit on that seat. And then, what next? My parents are gone. My brother, sister. Well, I didn't have a sister, my brother. Oh, I guess he was younger than I was. I got to think back here. Well, I guess I got probably saved before my brother did. But anyway, of course, he was just little too. But if you're old enough, boys and girls, to know that you are a sinner and that you need to be saved, then you shouldn't wait to open your heart to the Lord Jesus. But, you know, the time came when I accepted the Lord. One night, I simply asked him to wash my sins away. And, you know, he did that. But I didn't have peace in my heart until sometime later I went to my parents and I told them that I asked the Lord Jesus to save me. And, you know, I think that's confessing with the mouth. So we read in Romans 10 and 9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So, have you done that? So, let's not forget these two questions. What hast thou done? That's the sin question. There's an answer to the sin problem, and it's Jesus and his blood. The blood of Christ is that which cleanses from all sin. And it's wonderful to be saved, to know it, and to enjoy it. And if there's somebody here tonight that's not sure about salvation, please come and talk to somebody about this. Because we want you to be happy. Your parents want you to be happy. Most of all, the Lord wants you to be happy. But there needs to be repentance towards God. A willingness to admit that I have sinned, I've done wrong. But then faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. It's that simple. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God shall not see life. Perhaps we could sing. Two verses of "What Can Wash Away My Sins." Number 32. Let's sing the first and last verse of 32.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, that not one spot remains. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious.
pray. Maybe you've never asked the Lord Jesus to save you.